Recovered Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today.
Fight for your families. Question is, how valuable is your family to you? As you allow that to process, and as you think about what you are doing regarding your own personal family, it comes back to us, each one, what we may not have done. But when we look to the future, we need to remember God loves you. And not only He loves you, generation through generations, the promise and the covenant has been that He promised to bless not only a person, but also the family through the families and generation through generation. You are precious before the eyes of our God Almighty. And that's why when we think about fight for your families, we need to understand the world that we're living in today. But again, in the same way, the world is the world. Let us understand this. It just depends on the decisions that we make. For the people of God found themselves not only experiencing God's invitation to Him from the beginning in Genesis, but also we see the Lord trying to draw them unto Him. But it comes back again, the disobedience, the rebellious attitudes and situations that took them away from God's blessings, from all that He had prepared. And as we see the people of God through the Old Testament, we see them in exile as well. They'd lost what they had, the blessings and the families and the locations. And the people of God kept on praying unto the Lord. And again, the Lord started to deliver. And as we hear the word of the Lord and the situation that they were experiencing, as we see in Nehemiah, it says, "Then I said to them," we'll come back to the text that we have here, reading out of chapter 2. "Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. "Let us start rebuilding." So they began their good work. When you start doing something good for the Lord, I'm reading chapter 2, and that is 17 and following. The enemy is not happy, and that's what happened. They started to discourage, question. But again, when you're focused upon the Lord, you're able to hold on and hang in there, and the Lord will see you through. The end of the chapter says, chapter 2, it says, "I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success." Notice, they didn't say, "We will." No, the God of heaven will give us success. We, His servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, those that were trying to discourage them, but as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. In other words, this is not your business. This is our business. I would say to us that that is our business, God's business. When we come in, the relationship, and we see God's desire. This continued to unfold in the upcoming chapters. And then we come to this passage in chapter 4, Nehemiah. When we look at this text, we see the invitation that the Lord is able to bring to us. And I would encourage you to think about your own personal family. And you think about the age of your children and your grandchildren. And you ask yourself, Lord, why am I in this world for? What's my purpose? When you think about the family, think about your own marriage. And you question yourself, how is our relationship today in comparison to the day that we got married? How are we doing as not only in our marriage, but also as parents with our children, if they're grown, with our own grandchildren? In other words, the mission is opened. And with God's grace, we will be successful to do His mission for us in this world. When we look at what happens, we see a conversation as well. When we think about what the Lord is doing and wants to do, and when we see the text, the threat, we have to identify as in the first place when we look at it. If we do not understand the threat that we have against our own family, we will never understand how may we have a response that is also compatible to the threat that we are experiencing. Today, you might think and say to me, well, Pastor, you know what? All the families are struggling. They're having all these problems, but I'm not having any problems. If we are in this world and we are striving to walk under the Lord's direction, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. And part of it is not because of the justification of others or the reason of others. It is because our own personal decisions. We need to be responsible. The threat may be different to different families. But again, it comes back to the enemy. But we see, look at the text, when we think about verses 9 through 12, into the threat that they understood as well. But first thing they did, they prayed to God. We all experienced different challenges and threats in our own family. Don't forget, you'll never resolve them by your own. Bring God into all. Bring Him into your own personal family. Bring Him into your own financial decisions. Bring Him into your own marriage. And you will see the difference that God will make in your own personal life, your children, and your grandchildren. The people of God, that's what they did. That's what they started. It says that we pray to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Why? Because they knew they were coming, as the text itself tells us. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is given out. In other words, they are discouraged. They don't know if they'll make it. And that's why they declare, we cannot rebuild the wall. Now, for you and I, it might be considered for us to say, it's impossible for me to resolve this situation. God is in the impossible business. And when you draw Him into your own personal life, when you draw Him into your own personal family and say, Lord, here I am. I've tried my ways and other ways as much as possible. I need Your way to come in and help me resolve these issues. That's what happened. Also, our enemies, it says, said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and kill them and put an end to their work. How many people today are living different places being afraid that they will be killed? And that is real. Now, what happens when we do that? But again, the emphasis, then the Jews who lived near them came. Those came and told us 10 times over. In other words, they were afraid as well. Whatever you turn, they will attack us. In other words, we are defeated. That was the expression, the threat. Now, how would you feel if you were a part of this population back in those days? How would you feel? What would you do? And here we are in this situation. But again, the threat is real to your family. And we'll see this in a few minutes. But right now, as we see the people of God response, not only the threat, but also we see the response, verses 13 through 15 out of the same text. The Bible tells us that, therefore, this is the response, in other words, the plan of action. What do we do? They were not afraid. The leadership, they were able to take hold and move forward. And they said, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families. It's strategic, the presence of the families, not only in the strategy that was in place, but also in the strategy that God has for this world. If the families fail, their strategy would fail. If our families fail, our society and world will be in deep trouble, and we are in deep trouble. That's why we need to understand the timing that we are in. The people of God understood, and they posted by families as they looked ahead. And they declare and said, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. It doesn't matter what the challenge may be. Do not be afraid of whatever you're experiencing in your own family as you seek and bring God into the response. He will help you to resolve whatever issue that may be as long as you follow His direction, not our own. And that's our problem. When they turn and said, don't be afraid of them. And here is part of the solution. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families. Your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. In other words, he was saying to them, it is time to fight for your own families. We are in a time in our society and history that we need to fight for your families, for our families. If you do not fight for your own family, I can guarantee you, the government will never do. Nobody else will. Even from within our own family, we need to understand. We may have relatives around us or at a distance, and we may try to help and fight as much as we can for other families within our own family. But again, no one will fight for your family like you would do it. Question mark. How valuable is your family to you? This is the stand. Are you willing to fight for your family? If not, we're in deep trouble. And the emphasis continues. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. Responsibility. It is no time to blame someone else. It is time for us to understand that we are harvesting whatever we have planted in the past, and we are in deep trouble. And that's why we have the problems we have. Not only we live in a nation that less and less professes or identifies with Christ the Savior. And as we see the statistics and the studies, they come out again and again and time after that. That's why we see and we must understand not only the threat that we are going to expand in a moment, but also the response that we are going to bring in. Today, it's not an easy task. We might call it's also an impossible situation when we see When your child is going to school and he's maybe starting pre-K or kindergarten or first grade or whatever, that's a war zone itself. And we don't know if they're going to come back or we're going to see them again. When we are walking in the neighbor, maybe we don't know what's going on. And sometimes all of a sudden in our nation, we hear all the shooting that is taking place so much more. We see all the situation that is going on. And we ask ourselves, what's going on again? The threat is real. And notice, as the people of God were able to realize the situation, their goal of rebuilding and trying to do, there was the others, the enemy, where they were trying to discourage. But notice as well, when look at this moment, Lifeway Research did discover some responses. And in this survey, the question was, what are the top 10 issues or threats facing today's family? And we ask the question, what are some of the top threats to your own family today? Well, this survey showed these 10. In the first place, it identifies an anti-Christian culture in this nation. It is more difficult for you to stand up for your own values in Christ Jesus than to give up. And too many people have done that. They've surrendered their values, their convictions, their biblical teachings. They have forgotten them as well. If we do that, we are in deep trouble. Not only the anti-Christian culture, but this is not an option. Even from the point of view of our government and other institutions, we are being pressed on. That if we do not engage or involve the rest of the world, we are seen in a very negative and threatening way because of our Christian values that do come out of the Bible. Number two, we could expand in each of these issues the threats unto our families today. Divorce. If we have anyone that has been divorced here in the past, I am not judging anyone. I am not to do that. God is the only one that does that. But I can guarantee you that your marriage will be a success when you look to the future with Jesus Christ. It's too long for us to feel sad because of our past failures. It is time to recognize the resurrection of Christ Jesus and the Lord Himself throughout the generations and generations, and to recognize that, yes, we can be successful, not because of us, but because of Jesus over the cross and being raised from the dead, and He has won victory eternally. And that's what He's offering unto us. We have no time to fight. We have no time to be able to struggle with each other. We need to recognize that in Jesus, it's time to see the threat and respond together, not blaming each other. No. We need to see marriage as the godly unity that He's brought and that He has blessed us with. It goes back to Genesis. It's not out of this world. It's so sad for us because the threat, we see it in our own culture. People are celebrating. This is my fourth wedding. This is my fifth wedding. And I'm going to invest so much in this other one. When we come back and people are glamoring, they're celebrating, we need to recognize and see God's desire to bless our marriage into the rest of our lives. How do we handle? How do we cope? How do we resolve? This is a very dangerous statistic because it is compared similarly out in the world as too many times within the life of churches as well. And that's very, very dangerous. Busyness, number three. In other words, we have no time for God Himself or our own family. In fact, when I've asked in retreat service and so on at times, when was the last time that as a husband and wife, you sat down in your own home together as a husband and wife and took time to read the Word of God together and took time to pray together? And let's add one more factor. What about engaging your children into reading the Bible and being able to pray with them? for their challenges as well, not only as a family, but for their daily challenges that they're experiencing. And the response in almost 90, 99% come back to me and they say, you know what, Pastor, you do not understand. I'm too busy. We are too busy. Our schedules don't allow us to come together because when one goes, the other one goes, and the other one, and the kids in so many ways, or sometimes we allow social media to interfere so much as they lock themselves in the room or so. In other words, we're so busy today in so many activities that we have no time for God Himself. We think we will find Him in the four walls of a church facility. Do you understand that the Lord does not live in buildings built by these hands of this world? He has chosen to live in your own personal life, heart, and all. When you and I gather together, this facility becomes holy for the work of God. I've seen churches that they've transferred into a casino, into a dancing place, into all the places of prostitution, into all the situations. The buildings of this world are buildings of this world. What makes the difference? It is the people of God gathering and recognizing that He lives and dwells in us. In other words, we ought to expect something supernatural from God as He works in our life, personally, individually, in our marriage, in our family. He is anticipating something supernatural from your own personal life. And too many times we're going by, oh, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm just surviving. So many issues, so many problems. Oh, Pastor, but you do not understand the problems that I have because you are so close to God, and maybe the same God that leads and works in the pastor and church leadership, it is the same God that has chosen and wants to dwell in your own personal life. The difference is that we are saying we're reluctant. We're saying, I'm not sure if God really accepts me or wants to work with me in this way. Yes, He does. The day that you were born, He was there. And He was saying, you are precious before His eyes, God's eyes. And for your own family, you're a blessing. You're not a curse whatsoever. Others might say, you are no good for nothing, and so on. But yes, before the eyes of the Lord, He loves you, and He's got a great future for you, young people, if you only seek and follow His direction. I can assure you, you already will be a success as you place your whole being in Him because of what He has done already, generation through generation. I don't have to prove what He will do in your life. Thousands of years of history show us exactly what He has done. That's why I'm saying to you, young people, if you trust in Him, He'll take hold. You have no idea how much fun you'll experience in this life journey with God. The reality is there. Challenges, threats, oh yes, you'll find them as well. They'll come along with it. But you know what? He will be there before you even get there. And He'll help you to resolve as you seek His will and His direction. Not only do we see busyness absent father of a fatherly figure. This is a very, very dangerous one. In other words, too many children are living in this world without a father. And in some cases, without a mother. That's why we are in crisis as well. And then we ask the question, what happened? We've got marriages where the father doesn't know his identity and God's entrusted leadership into the family, not as a dictator, but as a spiritual leader. In other words, we need to be the example. Do as I tell you. No! Live out your faith in the Lord in your own home. Walk with Christ. Lead your own family. In other words, that's what we are lacking right now in this society. When we see the following, number five, lack of discipline. Too many times we blame somebody else. We need to recognize there is no disciple of Jesus Christ without a personal discipline in the Lord Jesus. There isn't. I know. You think discipline already in a negative way, but no. The Greek word here is translated as training for life. the reality of training myself, in the reality of disciplining myself, I can guarantee you, the pastor, each Sunday school teacher and Bible study leader, or those that are leading the homes, they plan, they prepare, they pray, they seek the Lord's direction. In other words, they have to have the discipline of themselves to move forward and to do the task effectively for the Lord as much as possible. Is it optional? No. That's what we give up. The people of God may have given up themselves. Nah, it's not worth this wall. It's just a wall. Let's get back over there where we were. No, the Lord wants you to move forward and recognize what's there. And not only the lack of discipline, financial pressures, over 60 or 80%, depending on your status, of marriage failures come because of financial pressures and materialism. Husband, wife sometimes can't sit over the table and see each other and talk about finances because in the middle they say, you, no, you. No. When the Lord is the owner of all, we are only to be good stewards of what He's entrusting us. But with my wife, we practice this in our 42 plus years of marriage, and we thank the Lord because we see finances, budgeting, as something where we can celebrate God's blessings. We can talk about God's income, and we talk about our expenses. Now, be cautious. Remember, part of the financial pressure, it is because we are overspending. Cars come in, they say, just go and spend it and do, and we'll some way or somehow you'll pay. Don't worry. They'll tell you, for 3 years, you won't pay a thing, and so on. Go get your new car if you want to. And the furniture is too old. You already bought it last year, so now you need a new one. And they're saying all these promotional stuff that we have. No. Take hold. Discipline yourself. Recognize the financial reality. No, I must have the brand number one that just came out on my tennis shoes, so I can't wear any jeans of anyone else. So I've got to, again, come back. No, wait a minute. Discipline yourself. And that's part of our financial crisis. When we see the lack of communication, husband and wife, sadly to say, sometimes 20, 30, 40 years in retreats we're seeing, and they sit across the table. Who are you? They don't know each other. They lost communication, and the romance that was there when they got married, they forget each other. And all of a sudden, even persons that have been married for so long, because their kids have grown up, they've gone, they've got the empty nest in the home, and now they're struggling about how do they communicate, what do? They do not know each other. Why? Because they did not nurture God's love in their marriage, in their relationship. That's why lack of communication in so many ways. A lot of the problems in our own marriage and family, it is because of lack of communication. If we would only seek under the Lord's direction and see, we will resolve it. Negative media influences. And now it's amazing because nowadays social media is having greater impact than even our own parenting at home. Beware. There's a lot of good, but there is a lot of trash and damage Satan is destroying. And you can see not only suicide being increasing and the rejection of parenting and a lot of other things that are there. Be very cautious. I understand that in this generation it's almost impossible to say don't use social media. Because even in school, it's being used in so many ways. But be very cautious into that. And that, again, is a threat in our family. The balance of work and family. Now, I've got extra. I need some extra time to be able to get more money so that we can help my family. And too many times we confuse materialism, which is number 10, with our relationships. We cannot replace our relationship with each other. Now, threats in our own personal family. And some of these are impacting. That's why these threats are there. And our family is being destroyed. It is there. And too many times the ones that suffer the most are our children and our grandchildren. Because we think the more money we give them, we give them a car, we give them whatever they want to. And too many times we say, because I love them. That doesn't work that way. Can we spend a few minutes together? Could we go to the beach? Could we go fishing? Can we go bowling? Can we go see a movie? Can we see a movie, get some popcorn right there in the living room at our own home? No, we are too tired. We start seeing the movie. I can't handle it, we say. I'm too tired. What happened? First of all, no, we're too busy. We can't find a schedule in which we can do it together. Don't blame anyone else. The world is the world. They will always attack our families, but the values are being destroyed by so many means. And that's why we ask the question, what is the primary root cause or the failure of Christian marriages today? Don't allow your family to be a statistic, because notice, what does it say? What's the response? People's lack of grounding in biblical teaching on marriage and the family. We see it as secondary. We see it as the end. We see it as an option. We don't think about it until the police calls you and says, we've got your son that was overdosed with drugs. We've got your daughter that they were out there robbing something, or maybe from a store because they wanted to have something. In other words, we've got from the hospital, your family here. And they've had an accident because they were drunk. We have somebody that was shot. Why? Because they were engaged in sexual relationship with a married individual. In other words, or you think, you name it. Why do we have to wait till it's too late? It is time to recognize the threats, and it is time to respond accordingly. How is the Lord inviting us to respond? The response has been there since the beginning. And we go back to this text. Notice what the Lord invites us in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Read with me right here. Would you read with me? And it says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart. As long as you live, teach them to your children and to their children after them. I'm sure you've read this text many times. I'm sure you've studied this text many times. But you know what? It's not enough to talk about it. It's not enough the intention of that. It's not enough to say, yeah, I believe that the word has the power, and I believe that God can do it. The question is, when are we going to start doing it? Well, Pastor, I'm going to call my pastor so that he can come on a specific day so that he can read and teach us the Bible. When are you going to start taking hold of your own family before God? When are you going to start? Because remember, you cannot draw any water out of a dry well. If there is nothing that we can bring out of our own self, it's because we are not investing time in the Word of God. Too many times we grab the Bible and just a fly might be flying around us, and we may want to hit it with the Bible, maybe because it's around there. Or maybe it's full of dust. We come in and say, nice and clean, and now I got the biggest Bible, I got the longest, I've got the one that has the concordance that is so big, that it's so impressive and so beautiful, it's made up with this material. So the question is, how much of the Word of God is coming into your own personal life in a way that in your own life, in your own family, you're living out your faith in Christ? This is what we're talking about. Too many times we're missing out. And it says, as long as you live. Are you alive today? Pastor David, one or two persons, it seems to be they're alive. I guess maybe they may have turned him off. They have turned me off. Huh? Are you alive today? Are you really alive today? Well, I've got a challenge for you today. For the word says, for as long as you live, teach, share. Now, teach is not the teaching class. The text of teaching means to live out, to experience God's reality, His word. Teach them to your children. Teach them to your grandchildren. Teach them and experience as well the reality of God. It is easy to say a few words and to teach something out of the Bible. We need to live out our faith in the Lord. That's when it becomes real. We don't want to be a religious individual. We want to be a person in this world that has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not a religion. That doesn't save us. A relationship with Christ gives us eternal life. We are on a path of righteousness. And that's why the emphasis, remember, read with me again. Remember the day you stood before the Lord, your God, at Horeb. When he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. See, that's the formula. That's the root of the problem. We're not teaching. We're not learning ourselves. There's nothing to teach, because what are we going to teach? As long as we live as in the land. And again, why young people and other generations don't care about God, our God? They choose and desire to go after all the gods of this world, but they're not willing to engage with the real God, the creator of all, through Christ Jesus. That's why we are in crisis. That's why we are in problems. Fight for your families. No time to lose. Fight for your families as you look ahead and see the Lord has given us a specific response. This brings back into the New Testament when we see Ephesians 6:4. And as we read together, fathers, it says what? Do not exasperate your children. Instead, let them do whatever they want to do. No, it says bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Or the translations use the word under the discipline as well of the Lord. It is time. Let me say also that it is time as well around the world to recognize and to share God's wonderful reality. And with my wife, we want to say thank you to you. For not only you are engaging in this community, but also this past year you were a blessing to us. Not only praying for us, but also engaging when you send some support to the church in Puerto Cortez in Honduras. And I know that you may have been supporting other means, other places, but the church was blessed with an offering, and the pastor and the wife and his family, they were blessed. And they were so surprised, as they've expressed to us, that in the 20 plus years of the church, they've never had a support or engaging or a partnership with the church or being able to be blessed by other churches. In that area of Honduras, northwest of the Honduras area, exactly. The convention in Honduras has supported and has helped engage in other places, but there's never been a missionary that has been serving in that area. So the Lord has connected us as well with the church, and you were a blessing when you were able to work together, and this truck brought into our home those 8 boxes that you were able to send with all the goodies that were in there, and you have no idea how the families were blessed. And then some time ago they told us they had engaged with Samaritan Purse also through another church, and they sold the boxes for a certain amount per box to that church as well. In other words, a church to a church, it's a different situation, but you were able to send what you send, and that was able to get to the church directly, as you see in that celebration that we had in December. Last year, a year before, we had about 65 in a celebration in the church. But this past year, with all that was going on, from 65, it went up to 165 kids in that building. That was a blessing. They were rejoicing, the families, as a witness unto the church. Not only the word is being taught in that celebration, not only giving them out, but also we are here trying to get ready and be able to give out to each child an expression of God's love through your church as well. We see here the overall within the church. I would say that we were able to fit only standing up, because there was no place where we could sit. And they, no problem. We're getting ready for this coming year to see with the church what else can be done as a building facility, because this is not enough, and we thank the Lord. You can see the children as they were so glad to receive all that they were able to receive. The church as well, these kids are the pastor's children. They engage also giving out in the community as children didn't come at times, but they were so thrilled and were so thankful as well This is, at the end here, the group. You can see as well what was being shared with them. The families, school materials, Christmas gift as well in sharing Christ's love. This is in preparation, not only church. This was New Jerusalem, the previous one. But this is also another church in Baracoa that was there. Hay vida en Jesús. And that we prepare those boxes as well, recycle them there, and send them also to the church in Baracoa. And the kids were able to be so glad. They said one of the mothers, when she heard that something was going to happen on that day, she was just broke down in tears. And she said, the pastor told me, and she said that she was first time in her life that anything is being done as somebody is thinking about them in their church, because there are gangs, there are drug traffic and situations in the community that make it very difficult as well for them to worship. At times, sometimes they have to worship. They can only open the church under certain conditions as well. But we thank the Lord for your goodness and sharing the word. A second church also that is nearby, Puente Alto, and they were also blessed. They were going to join together, but they couldn't join together because, again, restrictions on how to move with the dynamics of the kids. And they were able to be blessed, the children, the pastor as well, sharing there with them. That's what I'm saying today, that it is time to fight for your own families. When you start fighting for your own families, it's natural to fight for families in other places. And we thank you so much for your prayers. Looking ahead this year to a greater 2024. God is good, He's faithful, and He wants to bless your life. Whether this is not only, by the way, there was another church that was blessed out of the giving as well from your church, and that's in Guatemala. The daughter's relative has somebody that is married to a pastor in Guatemala, and they came. We live about 45 minutes, 1 hour away from the border on Guatemala side, and they were there for Christmas, and we said, well, they've never had anything such a celebration there at their church. And she said, could you share with us? Talk to the local church, New Jerusalem. And they said, because we want them to catch the missionary vision. If they want to share with others, and they did, more than glad, boxes were sent to Guatemala as well. And already others are praying for what the Lord wants to do in this year. We can neglect, we can forget, we can justify for the past, but we can't keep on doing it to the future. It's time to take hold of our own personal life. Fight for your own family. Fight for your own family. Fight for the families of the faith right here at Horeb, in a way that even beyond the world that we live in, it is time to pray for families that we have left in our own home country, because some of them are struggling tremendously. Not forget about those that are struggling and suffering. That's why we've got a lot of problems. Why? Will you be a part of the threat, or will you be a part of the solution? Starting your own family. Find a time in which you can draw God into your own family. Seek in prayer His direction and through the Word. And He will show you His grace and love and faithfulness.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, and you would like to listen to previous sermons or more information about our church, visit our website, www.horebnola.com.